Amen. Thank you, young man. Let's turn, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Looking at the subject this morning, why don't more people get saved? Matthew chapter 7. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that marvelous grace that the young men just sang about there. And Lord, we do ask the question, why don't more people avail of that grace? Why don't they receive it? And Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts now from thy precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7, 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to where? Destruction. And what? Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto where? Life. And what? Few there be that find it. Why don't more people get saved? Number one, because people like to follow the popular path. More people don't get saved because they want to follow the wide path. And the problem is that path is going to destruction. It's not going to life. So few will follow the narrow path. I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning, trying to illustrate just what it would have been like to be Noah. Now imagine this morning that you came to church, and including you, there were only 8 people here. Now you may say, wow, a lot of people sick or traveling or something. And so you think, wow, I just better pray. And so you come back Sunday night, still only 8 people, you included. And it's not that you're not out witnessing, you're out witnessing, street preaching. By the way, continue to pray. The Alliance Defense Fund, there's a note out on our bulletin board there, the information they sent to the city of Greenville. And you'll probably want to read that. But imagine, we're out in the park ministries and Thursday nights, Saturdays, and the jail and Green Acres and extended care. And next Sunday, still only 8 people, including yourself. Same thing Sunday night. Same thing Wednesday night. And so you think, I've got to pray more. And so you do. And you think, I've got to hand out more tracts, and so you do. And the next Sunday, still 8 people, including yourself. It goes on that way for a year. You're thinking, what am I doing wrong? You're still preaching repentance and faith, still preaching righteousness, a changed life. No one is availing of that grace. At the end of a year, still 8 people, just 8, including yourself. 2 years, just 8 people, including yourself. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, still just 8 people coming to church, including yourself. You finally get to 100 years, and the Lord destroys everyone else. Well, that's what happened in Noah's day. He was a preacher of righteousness. In Genesis chapter 6, at one point he says, my spirit is not always going to strive with man, yet his day shall be 120 years. So he was prophesying right there, in 120 years, that's going to be it, because I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. God gives him another 20 years. No one seems to be moving, so he gives the instruction for Noah to begin building the ark. From 500 years old to 600 years old, he built the ark in those 100 years. And no one listened that got on the ark. Anyway, if anyone listened in that time, but they died before that time, if that was the case. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But imagine this morning, would we continue on being faithful? We talk about few here. It says in verse 14, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and what? Few there be that find it. Are we really ready to face the impact of that in this world? What if it was that way? If only 7 other people other than ourselves responded to the Lord, would we be faithful? That's the exact thing that Noah and his family faced. Are we willing to rest our lives and our eternal souls upon the Word of God? Or will we take the popular path? Why don't more people get saved? Because they take the popular path. They are not willing to search the Scriptures, and in them we find eternal life, and it is only in Jesus Christ. John 14, 1 through 6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. That's it. And we find all kinds of people saying, well, maybe the sincere Muslims will make it, and maybe the sincere Mormons will make it. I mean, we've had national leaders, two different national leaders, both comment on those two groups saying that they'll be okay. Well, they will not be okay. And do we really realize this? Now, if we were supporting a missionary, and after one term, no one had gotten saved but his own children on the field, how many churches would continue to support them? Probably most wouldn't. If Noah was a missionary, relying on the support of independent Baptist churches, would he have had any supporting churches after those 100 years? Probably not. Probably not. We so often, we'll see this a little bit later, but even as Christians, we seem to want no one to say anything bad about us. We seem to want to go the popular way, whatever it is. Not the world popular way, but, you know, the so-called independent Baptist movement popular way sometimes. So just imagine when Noah got off that ark, and I was talking it over with our class today, but the city of Greenville is said to be a population of 8,000. Imagine this morning, there's only eight of us here, and when we let out, you drove through Greenville, and there was not one soul walking around Greenville. Now, for some of you that dared to get out and shop after Thanksgiving, you'd probably think, well, that might not be so bad. At least I could finish my shopping with a little peace of mind. No one would be in the stores. But imagine that. Imagine you drive through Greenville and there's not a soul there. I know some of you had the other direction. Imagine on your way home, you do not meet one car. Everyone else is gone. Everyone. Imagine that it's not just Greenville, but all of Michigan. Only eight people left in Michigan. And you're one of the eight because you trusted Christ and Him alone. Imagine what it'd be like. You're the only eight in all of Michigan. No one in Grand Rapids. No one in Detroit. Imagine then you're the only eight left in the United States of America. Only eight. How would it feel? You are one of only eight left in the whole country. Now imagine it's the whole world. You're only one of eight people left in the whole world because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Wow. Well, that is exactly what Noah faced. Exactly. He and his family. The Bible says few are going to be saved. And now say all the people in the world are still here. But you're only one of eight that have placed your faith in Christ. Think of the persecution. Think of the mocking that you would take. Well, that's exactly what Noah faced. And so why don't more people get saved? Because they want to go the easy route. They want to go the wide path, the path that most people are taking. Notice with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. People don't like to be talked about by others. They tend to want to go with the flow. And we'll see in a moment, even we as Christians are tempted to want to take the easy route. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 26, what's the first word of Luke 6:26? Woe. It's not wow, it's woe. Woe unto you when all men shall speak what? Well of you. For so did their fathers to the who? False prophets. We like to be spoken well of. And yet the Bible brings a woe upon those people, not a wow. Wow, the world loves me. Wow, everyone in Greenville attends our church. Wow, everyone in Michigan wants to come to church here. Wow, isn't this great? What does verse 26 say? Woe. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the who? False prophets. False prophets. And even as Christians, we are tempted to hide our faith if it's going to mean that people don't talk nice about us. Notice in John 12. John 12. John chapter 12. And verse 42. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many, what? Believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not, what? Confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the, what? Praise of men more than, what? The praise of God. Okay, what are we looking for? I mean, honestly, let's get right down to it today. If we were just one of only eight left, would we be faithful? Not just 1 week or 1 month, or 1 year, or 10 years, but 100 years, or in other words, until the day we die, would we really be faithful? Or would we begin to say, you know what? You know what? I've got to be off somewhere. You know, it just can't be that only eight people in the world believe the right way. That, you know, we must be a little weird. There just can't only be eight of us. I mean, God created the world. He created mankind. There just can't be eight of us left. It's just, we must be off somewhere. We must be a little too strict. We must be a little too dogmatic. We must be a little too fanatical. We've got to be off somewhere. Well, Noah wasn't. And it's a good thing he stayed on that course. Or no one would have been saved. No one. So do we really understand what it means that few there be that enter therein? Do we really understand? Why don't more people get saved? Let's go back to Matthew 7. More people do not get saved because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love following the popular path. And secondly, why don't more people get saved? Because they are deceived by false prophets. You see, there's not just one church in Greenville or in Michigan or in the United States or in the world. There are a multitude of churches. And the world that is deceived thinks, well, they're all doing the same thing. It's just they have different names and they go different at it different ways. You know, like there's four ways to get into Greenville. M91 South, 57 East, M91 North, 57 West, as well as some other various roads you could get in to the city without those main roads. But that's the problem with most people in this world is they think, well, everyone's trying to get to heaven, and, you know, God is very gracious, and he'll let them in. But that's not what God says. That's what man says about God, but God says the way is straight, not just opposite of crooked, but that word straight means narrow, and it goes on to say that in verse 14 there. But so people are deceived, deceived by false prophets, and notice that after verses 13 and 14 comes verse what? 15. Okay, that wasn't a trick question. Okay, verse 15, and what does it tell us? It tells us in verse 13, enter in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and that's where many are going to destruction. Verse 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then it warns us, verse 15, beware of who? False prophets. Listen to people that are saying, you know what? These other groups are okay. Just lighten up, would you? They're in verse 15 category. They are the false prophets. They're saying, wait a minute. Do you think you alone have a corner or a handle on the truth? Come on, who do you think you are? Are you that filled with pride? No, we need to be that filled with the Bible, God's holy words. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, Isaiah 8:20. No light. No, we're not proud. We just know that the world is filled with false prophets. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in red devil suits. Is that what it says? No, in sheep's clothing. These false prophets are not going to masquerade as the devil. They're going to masquerade as sheep. They're going to masquerade as prophets of righteousness. They're not going to masquerade as the boys in black downtown with all their pierced things hanging out of their face. They're going to masquerade as children of light. Children of light. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in what kind of clothing? Sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You're going to know them by their fruits. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to deny the word of God. That's what they're going to deny. So, but we are taken off guard so easily. People say, yeah, I know the Lord. I don't know what I would do without him. Have you ever had anyone say that to you? A lot of people say that to me. Oh, yeah, you know, you ask them, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, I've known the Lord all my life. I don't know what I'd do without him. Pray to him all the time. So did Cornelius, but he was warned by an angel to send for Peter and hear words that he needed to hear to be saved. So what kind of false prophets do we have roaming around today? Well, if you go on just a little bit further, it gives an example. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Number one, that should warn us. Okay, not everyone that talks about God knows him. Did you read about in the paper or hear about the couple who crashed the White House party? They weren't on the list. And now we have an embarrassed Secret Service. How could they let someone in that wasn't invited? Well, they did. They did. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that talks about God knows him. Not everyone that talks about a White House party is really invited. Verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. By the way, what is his will? How do we prove his will? Do we eat pizza and go to sleep and find it? No. Some people do, I guess, but we find his will through his word, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We find his will by being transformed by the word of God. That's how we find his will. We can't find his will just through prayer. The wise men didn't. They didn't find Jesus just through prayer or signs or stars. They ended up in Jerusalem. The wise men did not find Jesus in Jerusalem because Jesus was not born in Jerusalem. Where was he born? Bethlehem. But they inquired there in Jerusalem, where is he going to be born? And the scribes knew the word of God prophesied, Micah 5:2, that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. We can get down and pray, but unless we're meditating upon Scripture, we're not going to find the will of God. We might get down and pray and get up and do what we want to do, because that's what was on our mind. We find the will of God through the Word of God. So verse 21, not everyone that talks about God is saved. Some of them are the false prophets. Verse 22, that's interesting. Well, what was the amount of people from verse 13 that were going that broad way? It said, verse 13, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to where? Destruction and what? Many there be which go in thereat. Boy, that's strange because verse 22 starts out with the same word. What is it? Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have what? cast out devils, and in thy name done what? Many wonderful works. Wow, these people sound really religious. But you know what? That many from verse 22 are the many of verse 13, because verse 23 says, and then why profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We are so easily fooled. People talk about God, we say, well, they must be okay. People say, well, I read the Bible, and we think, well, they must be okay, because there's a lot of people that don't read the Bible. So if they actually read the Bible, they must be okay. If they actually think about God and actually seem to be serving God and talk about Him, they must be okay. Well, you know what? Verse 23, they were not. The many of verse 22. And of course, we've went over this many, many times, but verse 22 exactly describes the charismatic movement. The three things they emphasize: prophesying, which they say is tongues, casting out devils. They make a devil out of everything. If you ate too much on Thanksgiving, I was going to ask you to raise your hand, but I won't do that. But if you ate too much on Thanksgiving, they would say the demon of gluttony was in you. And we'll be glad to cast that out. You just come forward here and we will cast that demon of gluttony out of you. And you know, it makes for a great resume. Boy, how many people did you have come forward? Wow, a whole bunch of them. Yeah, and I cast demons out of all of them. Wow. It really looks and sounds impressive. Make a devil out of everything. And in thy name done many wonderful works. I mean, they claim to do all kinds of miracles. But who are they? They're the people of verse 13 and verse 23. They are the many. And you say, well, you're judging them. No, I'm not. The word of God is judging them. And notice in John chapter 12, you know what? That is going to be the judge in the end. People say, I don't like you because you judge people. It's not me saying it, it's God. John 12, 48. John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my what? Words hath one that judgeth him. Okay, who is it? The what? The word that I have spoken, the same shall what? Judge him in the last day. It's the word. It's not me condemning them. It's the word of God. Matthew 7, John chapter 12. It's the word of God that's saying the many that are going down the broad way are the many of verse 22, Matthew 7, 22, who are talking about the Lord all the time, claiming to do all these things. They are the many, verse 23, that he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, when pressed about this matter, and we just talked about this recently, but when pressed about this matter, the charismatics will respond back to you. Well, we don't put God in a box like you stuffy Baptists do. We don't make God fit in our little box, what we want Him to be like. We think outside of the box. Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is that no one could put God in a box if they wanted to. He's bigger than that. Notice in Jeremiah 23, nobody's going to put God in a box. Solomon had to admit, after he made the temple, that God wouldn't just dwell in that temple, that he filled heaven and earth. Jeremiah 23, 24. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I what? Fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So you know what? If we wanted to put him in a box, we couldn't. He's too big to fit in our box, whatever size it is. Now, in the printing ministry, we started out with little boxes and then a little bit bigger boxes and then a little bit bigger boxes. And now we have boxes. Pretty soon we're going to need a forklift to pick them up, I guess, pretty soon here. But notice in Jeremiah 23 here, still in verse 25, Those people who, like the charismatics, thinking and accusing us of going outside of the box, what they are really doing is they are going outside of what the Bible teaches. In Jeremiah 23, look in verse 25. Now, verse 24 said, the Lord fills heaven and earth. In verse 25, I have heard what the prophets said. That prophesy what? Lies. Some people are prophesying lies. We've already seen it. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We've also already seen that when God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, when we found that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and that he had Noah be a preacher of righteousness, we've already seen the end. What does God do in the end? Does he decide, oh, well, you know what? I said that only those who were saved by grace could go to heaven, but you know what? There's just so many that are lost. I just can't send all these people to hell. I've just got to let them in. Is that what he did when it came right down to it, to the flood and the ark? No, he did not. He only let 8 people get on there who had placed their faith in Christ, their faith in the coming Messiah to come. Acts 10:43. To him, Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sins. So it's only through him. We have the precedent that God says something and he means what he says. He fulfills it. Only those 8 got on the ark. No one else. So now these prophets, verse 25, I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies. Lies in what? My name. There you go again. What are they? They're Matthew 7. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name. Those people saying all these other religions are okay, those are false prophets in sheep's clothing. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the what? Deceit of their own heart. So, we do not put God in a box, not even our biggest box. Couldn't do it if we wanted. We don't put God in a box. Our God is revealed in this book. Not a box, in the book, the Word of God. And this is the book. The charismatics have not just gone outside of the box. They have gone outside of the book. Who says so? God says so. In Matthew 7, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. God gives us the example. It's not me. It's God giving the example of the exact things that characterize, that emphasize their ministry. It's God that says it. You know, they can say all they want about me. It doesn't matter. The problem is, in the end, they're going to have to face God of Matthew 7:23. They're going to have to face him. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, why don't more people get saved? Because they are deceived by false prophets. God says that only few are going to enter into heaven. Are we so proud as Baptists to think that we are the only ones who are going to heaven? No, that is not pride. And no, not all Baptists are going to heaven. Because you've got to be more than born a Baptist. You've got to have more than your name on the roll of a Baptist church to go to heaven. We must be born again, as was mentioned this morning. We must be born again. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are who? False apostles. What's the next word? Deceitful. We've just read that. Deceitful workers. It didn't say for such are open demons. It says they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into who? The apostles of Christ. When Jeremy and Holly were younger, they had toys out. I don't know, maybe they still do, but they had little toys out they called Transformers. They looked like a car, or then you could pull and turn all these parts, and I could never do it, but The children did it. They pulled all these things in a certain way and they turned into a robot. So they called them Transformers. And it was a real popular toy. But these people, these verse 13 false apostles, these deceitful workers, are going to transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. I mean, they're going to look like apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into an angel of light. That is exactly what takes people off guard when the Mormon knocks on the door. That's exactly what takes people off guard when the Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door, because we show you what their doctrine is, and their doctrine is poison. It's devilish. It's demonic. It's going to send people to hell, but when they stand at your door, they don't look at all like the preacher described or the Sunday school teacher described. They look nice. They're smiling. They're not there in their black and chains and pierced lips and noses and eyebrows with poison dripping off all that paraphernalia. And the first thing you're going to think is, are these the evil people that the preacher or the Sunday school teacher talked about? Well, these people are smiling. These people have decent haircuts. I wonder if the preacher was wrong. All these things. No marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be, what? Transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Don't be surprised when this really nice man or woman appears at your door and is very polite, but brings the devil's doctrine. Don't be taken off guard. The Bible tells you that's how they're going to come. But it says in verse 15, whose end shall be according to their works. They are deceived people, and they need to be saved. Why don't more people get saved? Number one, because people like to follow the popular path. And even remember, those who believed on the Lord did not want to confess them because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And it's the same temptation that will face us at work. Don't want to make it known too widely that I'm a Christian because they'll talk about me. They'll say bad things, but I don't want to make it too well known that I stand on the King James Bible because these other religious people don't understand that. They won't like me. And on and on we could go. So why don't more people get saved? Because it's in our nature to love the popular path. We want everyone to like us. That's why preachers at the church we get married at, my wife's home church, the pastor used to say, every Sunday night I go home and resign. Every Sunday night I go home from church and I resign. And he says on Monday morning I resign. Why? Because he was just describing what we all feel. When you stand for the Lord, you're going to get the flack. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it's our old flesh doesn't like that. We want everyone to like us. And so we're tempted to not maybe say all we should say. So number one, they love the popular path. Why don't more people get saved? Because they're deceived by false prophets. I'm not talking about Halloween get up and go, devilish costumes and witch costumes. I'm talking about sheep costumes. My wife was looking for some modest clothing, typed in modest clothing, and come up with a site that was this white modest clothing. It was Mormon gear. Mormon gear. Mormon clothes. 2 Corinthians 11. No marvel, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, our time is up, but there's many more reasons why people don't avail themselves of that marvelous grace the young men sang about this morning. We'd like to hit a few more of those tonight, Lord willing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, it reminds me of the vehicle I just saw recently where the front license plate said, "Judge not." Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I know when we say these things, people get angry and they say, "Who do you think you are to judge all these people?" Lord, help us to always be careful to make it clear these are not our words. These are your words. And you are the judge, not us. And all people will be judged according to your word, John 12:48. The same word right now they call a box. Something too narrow, too confining for what they want to do. Lord, help us to not be ashamed of you or of your word in this adulterous and sinful generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.